This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert.
Right now, the movie business is swinging into high gear. Oscar season coming up fast, and the Sundance Film Festival ended last week, giving us a sneak peek at the next crop of independent films.
Our next guest was at Sundance last week, rubbing elbows with all the bigwigs in Park City, Utah, and screening a bunch of movies along the way. And he's with us now to tell us more about what he saw. Rob Thomas is features editor and movie critic at the Capital Times newspaper. Rob, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, in general, what was this year's festival like?
Well, I feel like the festival is really changing. I mean, I always thought of Sundance as this place, like you say, where these independent movies come. They're throwing a lot of love. And then, you know, they might go to the art houses or come out on DVD, but they don't make that much of a splash. And I think last year that changed. You had two films. You had Boyhood, which is a front runner now for Best Picture that premiered at Sundance, and also Whiplash, which is another Best Picture nominee, and probably J.K. Simmons is a lock for Best Supporting Actor. So all of a sudden, like, the movies coming at Sundance are getting bigger, it seems like. It seems like that's starting to become a launching pad for, like, some of the movies that will cross out of independent cinema and start playing in the multiplexes.
What does that mean about what independent cinema is doing right? Does it mean people are sick of the big budget studio films?
Well, part of it, I think, is a lot of studios now have their own independent sort of subsidiary. Like, there's Fox has Fox Searchlight, Universal has Focus. So, you know, they've learned that, like, they can sort of counter-program their own movies. They can have, like, a superhero movie and then play a better movie or, you know, a smarter movie in the other theater next door and make money both ways. But the other side of it is they can put a lot more promotion behind a movie than maybe a smaller distributor can.
So they can do it all right now.
Yeah, that's right. And the other thing I think with Sundance movies is even the smaller movies, now you have Netflix and you have video on demand and stuff. I mean, a lot of these movies where it would have been harder to find them, you know, you're going to see them on Netflix in like 6 or 9 months. So it's a lot easier to see them. And I think a lot more people end up seeing them than they normally would.
So what everybody wants to know is, what are the big breakaway films this year? Was there a clear crop of frontrunners?
I don't know. There was definitely some that, you know, won the awards. And the big one was called Me and Earl and the Dying Girl. And I think any good title is going to rhyme. So, but it was the big audience grand jury winner. It sold to, I think it was Fox Searchlight for like $12 million, which is a record for Sundance. The story of these two high school kids who befriend a girl who has cancer. It was described as sort of a, you know, update on The Fault in Our Stars, but even maybe better than that. So that's the one this year, I think, that a lot of people are looking at as like, that's going to be a big breakout hit.
And that was based on a book.
Is that right?
Yeah, from what I saw. And the reason I know this, well, let me back up. No one wants to play a clip from this film for you more than I do. I looked, and the thing is that these films are so new that there's nothing out there. It's complete blackout. So there's nothing out there that I was able to find for this. But it sounds like it's going to be a fantastic movie.
Can you do a dramatic reading from the book, maybe? Or we can all play the different parts?
You know, there are. This is how much people want to see this movie. There are fake trailers up there with people just beating each other up in parks.
Is that
under
right?
Under the title of Me and Earl and the Dying Girl.
I'm glad you didn't fall for it.
So this is a good movie. Another one that people wanted to see is a movie called Dope.
Yeah, it was another one. It was sold for like $7 million to Open Road. It also is probably one of the most buzzed about movies there. I didn't see it. It's a drama with African-American kids. I think it's set in the 90s or maybe the 80s, but it looks really interesting, has a great soundtrack and stuff. I saw a very short trailer for that online.
So did you see any Oscar contenders in this crop? You mentioned Whiplash and Boyhood as ones that do have some Oscar buzz around them. Did you see anything like that this year?
The one well, there's actually two I saw that I think at least have a real strong potential for, you know, best actor, actress. One would be The End of the Tour, which was the movie about the novelist David Foster Wallace, who wrote Infinite Jest. And it's set, it's based on a memoir by another writer, Rolling Stone writer, who went on a book tour with him for Infinite Jest right when it came out, right when he was starting to hit big. And Jason Segel, who's like from The Muppet Movie and How I Met Your Mother, plays David Foster Wallace. I thought it was going to be a disaster.
Yeah,
when I saw
I kind of think
that
too.
He is great. I mean, he completely inhabits the guy you think David Foster Wallace is, but it's not a biopic, really. It's a movie about, you know, fame and the writing life. It's these great conversations between these two writers, one who's starting to get really famous, one who's maybe a little jealous of that. The other writer's played by Jesse Eisenberg. And I thought it was a great movie. I was really, it was by the guy who did Spectacular Now and Smash. So he's a James Ponsold, a really good director. And so that one I was really excited about. And I really think Jason Segel has a good chance of getting like a Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor nomination.
Did it feel respectful to you? Because that was one that people early on were worried about. It was too soon after he had committed suicide, and the estate, I guess, wasn't too happy about it. Did it feel like a loving homage or something that was respectful?
I would say, and the one thing I think is key is that it's not a biopic about his whole life. It focuses on basically 5 days in 1996, although it's framed by the news of his death. And it's him and, you know, a pretty good place. I mean, probably one of the high points of his life, and he's still kind of grappling with it. You know, I don't think it definitely doesn't wallow in, you know, his depression or anything else, but sort of talks about him dealing with it and trying to be better. So I think it's really, you know, about as good a job as they could have done.
Well, there are some movies that did actually have some audio out there. There's many of them.
Right.
And I do want to give us just a couple tastes of some movies that were at Sundance. This was a thriller. It's called True Story, and it's a James Franco movie. Let's take a listen.
Hello?
Hi, I'm a reporter with the Oregonian. I wanted to get your side on the Christian Longo story.
Who?
He murdered his entire family.
Why are you telling me this?
Because when they apprehended him, he said he was Mike Finkel of the New York Times.
Did he say anything at all about why he claimed to be me?
I'd hoped you might be able to tell me that.
He was just a regular guy, an intelligent, sane man. He comes home one night and kills his wife and gets it. It makes no sense.
Thank you for seeing me, Mr. Long.
Call me Chris.
So why me?
I followed your whole career. I guess I felt like I knew you. I want to tell you my side of this. Only you. Maybe at this point it doesn't matter.
And that's James Franco is the creepy guy who mysteriously kills his family and blames it on this New York Times reporter. This one based on true events, apparently.
It sounds that way, yeah. James Franco had at least two movies at Sundance this year.
He's everywhere.
Yeah, so he had this one and then one called I Am Michael about a gay man who sort of embraces conversion therapy or something like that. I didn't see that one. But this True Story, I think, is coming out in April. So that's going to get a pretty wide release. And that was Jonah Hill was the New York Times reporter. So it's a pretty, pretty big cast.
And Rob, I was following your tweets from Sundance.
Oh, good.
Thinking lucky guy. Also noticing that you seem to be really in love with a movie called Brooklyn.
Yes. This is the other one I think probably has an actress nomination locked up for the actress whose name it's like Saoirse Ronan. She was in Atonement and Hannah. And this is her first lead performance. She's fantastic in this movie about an Irish young woman in like 1950s who comes to America as an immigrant and about, you know, basically living in two worlds, having, you know, her old small town in Ireland and then living in Brooklyn and all the different things and getting used to that life here. The screenplay was by Nick Hornby, the novelist who did High Fidelity and wrote the screenplay for Wild. It's really a great movie. And and getting back to what I was saying before, like it doesn't seem like a Sundance movie to me. It's like a period piece, historical drama, beautiful, sentimental, very romantic. But it's the kind of movie that Sundance is starting to get, I think, as people realize kind of what a big platform it can be.
Now, there's one that has a UW tie, I gather. It's called The Russian Woodpecker, or just Russian Woodpecker.
Right.
What do we know about that one?
I saw that one. That's really good. And I think that will be coming to the Wisconsin Film Festival here in Madison in April. It's a really interesting, strange movie from this UW graduate, Chad Gracia, who was not a filmmaker. He studied Russian. Went to Kiev and was working on this theater project when he met this very odd performance artist who has this theory about Chernobyl, that it was deliberately set by the Russian government to cover up this even worse plot that was going on. It's really, which sounds very far-fetched, and he's a very weird guy. But the more you get into the movie and the more it sort of ties to what's going on right now in the Ukraine, it actually gets very powerful. So it won the World Cinema Prize for Documentary at the Sundance. So it's getting a lot of attention as well. It's a very strange movie, but it really pulls together in a strong way at the end. And I think people here can see it in April.
And any other favorites you want to tell us about?
Let me think. There was a very weird one that I liked a lot. Another one I was worried about called Last Days in the Desert, in which Ewan McGregor plays Jesus and the devil. And it's about...
What could go wrong?
Right, see? Yeah. And it's like, he's like George Burns. He's like our George Burns. And it's Jesus wandering around in the desert waiting for a sign from God, and he meets his family, and it's really good. It's really...
Is it controversial? You're saying it's good, but is it anything there for people to get upset about?
You know, I don't think so, but, you know, who knows? It's definitely... I mean, I think it's definitely more... It's something for people of all faiths, I would say. It's a Christian film in theme, but I think there's a lot there for lots of different audiences. So, but interesting to see what people think about that when it starts hitting theaters.
Right. Well, I can't wait to actually see some of these, Rob. Thanks a lot. Did you meet any celebrities there before I let you go?
You meet all kinds of weird people. I was sitting next to one guy, and he was like, I was talking to him, and he said, "Oh, I run Showtimes." And I was like, "Oh, for a theater?" And he's like, "No, I run Showtime, the network."
Nice.
He was the president.
Well, Rob Thomas is features editor, movie critic at Capital Times Newspaper. He's just back from the Sundance Film Festival.
I'm Rob Ferret.
Veronica Rickert, you're listening to Central Time.